Okay, if not, are you ready for the word this morning? Yes. Amen. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Well, you'll be all glad today. We're starting a new series. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking for this month about understanding borders. Understanding borders. God began to reveal this to me over a month ago, and I'm still meditating on it. I'm still chewing on it. But we don't understand borders in our lives. And so we're going to start this series, and we're going to take a look at borders. And out of 2 Corinthians 2:14, the thing that really stuck out with me regarding this series is diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. He diffuses it. See, a lot of times we read the Bible as a devotional. We read it for inspiration. We read it for a variety of reasons. But the founders of this nation and the biblical people like Paul, the apostles, the early church leaders, they read the Bible as a practical book to find out how to live. And see, unfortunately, in most of Western Christianity, we're reading it as a devotional, as a fairy tale book, as a blessing. We have little promise boxes. Have you ever seen a commitment box? Maybe we should start one. Commitment. I will serve the Lord all the days of my life. I will teach my children how to worship God. I will attend church regularly as Jesus attended synagogue every week. I will lay hands on the sick. I will. I do believe. It's like, boy, if you have a commitment box, I will lay down my, okay, that's enough. I won't go any further there. It's like, but Christianity is about a way of life. And the Bible was written to us as a practical book to teach us how we ought to live. You know, the Old Testament has the Ten Commandments. Well, we want to make them suggestions. You know, I was raised, for example, thou shalt not kill is one of the commandments, you know. And I was raised, well, that really means that we should not kill, period. So we were against war. We were against suicide. We were against capital punishment, anything that had to do with killing, but we liked meat. You know, we liked cow and chicken, and now some people are taking that to the extreme that if you really believe in not killing, you can't eat plants either. People are saying this. You can't eat eggs because eggs are an animal. And if you're going to be vegetarian, you can't eat eggs. And now some people are coming out, well, you can't really eat plants because plants have life too. Well, when you read the actual Hebrew, thou shalt not kill, it says thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between murder, but if you only read it as just a, well, we're not going to really investigate what it says to live by, well, we'll just accept kill because, well, I can interpret that any way I want to because it talks about killing, but it actually talks about murder. We say, well, everybody knows we should murder. Oh, really? You know, it seems like some people haven't got that message yet. Because they're still out murdering people. MS-13, you've got the latest killing over in Colorado, or where was it? Virginia Beach, that shooting. The kid that went up in the tower at the University of Virginia and shot a bunch of people from the tower. I mean, this is years ago. This isn't recent. Years ago. But it's like, but some people haven't got that message, if you haven't noticed. And that's because they don't like borders. They don't understand what borders are all about. Let's go to Proverbs 22:28. It says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. The word landmark there is kind of curious because it gets into a variety of things. Landmark is border, and it is used 241 times. I'll give you a little bit of history. It's interpreted border as 158 times, coast, a coastline, as 69 times. But properly, it is a cord. And it's a twisted cord, meaning that it's pliable. It's not a yardstick that you can't bend or twist. It's a cord that you can measure out, and you can bend it, and you can shape it however you want it. But it's understood by implication. It is a boundary By extension, it includes the territory that is enclosed by that cord that is twisted, that cord that is put together. It's the territory that is included inside or bounded by that cord. Now, so why is that important? Well, it's important to understand borders are more than legalities. Borders are more than just laws. Borders are more than just lines on a map. Okay, they're more than just lines on a map. Borders are not that easily defined. You know, we have China and Nepal have been fighting for years over what the actual border is between those two nations. You've got India and Pakistan that are still fighting over what the actual borders are. You've got different countries over in the Middle East. The name just went out of my head. But you have one tribe over there that is basically a Christian tribe, and they were ignored when they set up boundaries, although they were a huge Kurds, although they were a large people unto themselves and a large tribe, mostly Christian, we did not give them a nation. But yet they say, we have a nation and these are our boundaries, these are our borders. They go into Turkey, goes into Syria, goes into Iran, and they say, this is our territory. But we drew up lines on a map and we say, no, that's not your territory, you don't exist. Well, tell that to the Kurds, because they do exist. And they are fighting for their freedom and liberty over there too. So I'm just saying all these are examples. Boundaries are not an easy thing to always define. It's like thou shalt not murder. Well, some people will say killing a cow to eat is murder. Some will say digging up a potato to eat is murder because it's a living thing. See, boundaries are flexible. Boundaries change over time. And we're admonished here in Proverbs 22:28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set, because we've got people setting new landmarks. We're reinterpreting things. Things that 10 years ago were understood are now no longer understandable because we've changed the language and we've gotten rid of things and we're changing concepts so that language doesn't mean what it used to do. Somebody I heard the other day was critical of the Constitution of the United States because it did not mention women. Did you know that? Constitution of the United States does not mention women. And everybody goes, how dare they not mention women? See, this is a male chauvinist document. And the person they were talking to said, it doesn't mention men either. It talks about our rights. It talks about government. It talks about policy. It's not talking about men or women because it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It matters that you are obedient to the law. But see, we're changing the boundaries now. Everything now is against the Constitution. You know, when they passed abortion, they said, well, abortion is a constitutional right. Where in the Constitution does it mention abortion? It doesn't. It simply doesn't exist. But everything is a constitutional crisis. Everything is involved. And yet you go to the Constitution, it's like you can't find it. Matter of fact, the Constitution says any law that is not written in the Constitution that directly gives it to the federal authorities belongs to the states. Well, we'd undo a lot of laws on that one, wouldn't we, if we were going to be constitutional. And I love it now that all the liberals and all the Democrats, they are defending the Constitution of the United States. It's about time, but I wish some conservatives would defend the Constitution of the United States too. What I'm saying that for, I'm not trying to get political, I'm just trying to say it. Boundaries have changed. We don't have a clue what is constitutional and what isn't, because we've changed the boundaries. Well, the boundaries they're talking about here are not the U.S. Constitution. It's not our Declaration of Independence. It goes back a way lot further than that. Listen, the ancient boundaries are not even the Mosaic laws. We'll get into this a little bit later, but the ancient boundaries, ancient landmarks, is the faith of Abraham. That's the ancient guideline. The Bible says we are of the faith of Abraham, not of the faith of Moses. It doesn't require faith to obey the law. It takes faith to believe in God, though. Okay, let's move on. Borders and boundaries are important because they define influence and limitations. When there's a border, it means I have influence up to that point. Okay, beyond that point, I don't have influence, but I have influence up to that border that I have, that I've set. It also sets limitations. I am free to operate by the laws of the land within my border, but if I step out of my border, I am now limited because I may not be free to do what I can do within my own borders. Let me put it this way. You can do things in your own house that if you would do those things publicly, you would be arrested for. Nudity, oh my goodness. Public cursing, used to be able to arrest people for public cursing. You can do it in your house, nobody cares. But see, the boundaries have changed again because there's been laws passed that you can't smoke inside your house because of the fear of secondhand smoke. It's like, I'm not in favor of smoking, but if you want to do stupid things in your house, you know, as long as you don't directly affect somebody else, you know, I guess you have the right to do it. But I'm just saying that you can do things in your house. If you would go outside and do it, they'd arrest you for it. It would not be accepted or received if you did it outside your front door. Hallelujah. Anyway, you're kind of looking at me strange. But borders and boundaries are important because they define influence and limitations. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 14. It says, He makes peace within your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. So borders not only define influence and limitations, they also define safe zones and danger zones. He says here that I will make peace in your border. Oh, that's safe, isn't it? To have peace within your borders. I don't have to worry about in my borders, you know. I grew up in an age we didn't lock our houses. We didn't lock our cars. Why? We were in a safe zone. We anticipated no one's going to break into our house. I went to, years ago, it was probably about 25 years ago or so, I went to Baltimore to a pastor medical conference. And we were there, and when we got there, there was a sign inside our hotel, do not go out after dark. And if anyone knocks on the door, do not open the door under any circumstances unless you know the person who's out there. And we thought, well, what's going on? Well, at that time in Baltimore, they were having what was known as knock and rob murders. People would knock on the door, they'd open up, they'd shoot you, kill you, go in the house and rob the place. And at that time in Baltimore, that was a very common experience. Well, we were downtown Baltimore. We were on a safe campus at Johns Hopkins University, and yet they said, don't go out after dark. Because after dark, the borders change. The boundaries break down. See, crime, evil, always operates in darkness because if they operate in the light, they'll be seen. So after dark, people could hide in the shadows. They say, don't go out. Not unless you have an armed escort or a police officer or somebody, a security personnel with you. We were only going from the hotel that was right at the edge of the enclave into a building that was probably only about a block away. Don't go out after dark. See, there are boundaries, there are borders that they were setting up for our safety to make a safe zone. But they also have danger zones. Dark is a danger zone. Wow, wow, wow. Be really careful here. You know, watch yourself on here. Don't go over here. Stay out of, avoid this neighborhood at a certain time of night. Go, you know, it's like they're safe. Borders establish limits. They establish territories. It is a defining of boundaries, either physical, mental, or emotional. It's not just physical boundaries, but we have mental boundaries, mental barriers, mental borders also. Now, I want to say this because we need to understand borders are natural. Borders are a natural thing that we have in our life. We set borders, we set boundaries for our children. Don't leave the house. Don't leave the yard. Boy, I heard that one a lot. Be back before dark. Don't ride your tricycle in the street. Anybody ever hear that one? Don't do these things. Don't climb a tree above what you can reach. Well, that one got broken all the time because we were always climbing trees. Even in Oklahoma, we had a huge tree across the street, and we had a special rope, and it was a special rope. I've never seen one like it since then. But it was about 30 feet long probably. It felt like 100 to a six-year-old. But we would throw that rope up in the tree, and we'd hang on one side, make a loop, put our foot in the, and pull ourselves up the tree. And we'd get rid of the rope. We can't get down. So they said, don't climb trees. How about you must be back in the house by 9 p.m.? I don't want you hanging out with those kinds of people. Ever hear that? How about this one? Don't speak to strangers. All of these are boundaries. All of these are barriers. And they're natural things. We do it to protect our children. We do it to protect other people. We're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to scare them or to limit them. We're just saying, okay, until you get old enough. I mean, think about how boundaries change. Don't speak to strangers. Well, how are you going to meet anybody new if you don't speak to strangers? How about your first day in school? Mama told me not to speak to strangers. I can't talk to anybody in this class because they are strange. I can't talk to my teacher. I never saw them before. Well, the understanding is, you've got to talk to strangers, but don't talk to people that just walk up to you on the street. Hi, kid, you want a ride? That's a stranger that they're talking about, but in a public gathering, you can talk to strangers. It's okay, but have caution. Exercise some discernment in all of these things. Amen? So this is important as we understand it. This is a danger. When borders collapse, so does your influence and your protection. When children reject their boundaries, you've lost your influence. When you say, be home by dark, and the kid isn't home by dark, you've lost your influence. Now, you can reinforce that for a while, but after they get to a certain age, that rule doesn't apply any longer. We give instructions all the time to our kids. Well, there's times when they grow out of it, and that's just called maturity. And there's other times when they don't do drugs. Well, when they start doing drugs, you've lost your influence, because that drug will have greater influence on them than you. So there's all kinds of things that this affects. These are the reasons we establish borders. Is that we will have influence, and that we will protect the people that we love. But again, outside your border, you don't have influence. Outside of your border, you can't protect people once they go outside the boundaries. You can't do that anymore. You want to, but you can't do it because they're outside your border. They're outside of your control, if you want to use that word. We establish borders and boundaries around us as individuals, as families. We establish borders around our community, our cities, our states, and even our nations, for the same reasons. Nations establish borders to define their control and their protection. Nations determine their own laws on their own citizens. Every nation does that. They have their own set of laws for their own citizens. Depending upon the customs and traditions, the faith of the people, they establish these laws. Now, if you notice that these are not consistent from nation to nation. There's laws in Mexico that we don't have in the United States. There's laws in the United States we don't have in Mexico. There's laws in the United States that they don't have in Iran or Iraq. They don't have in Russia. They don't have in China. There's freedoms and liberties that we give to people over here that a lot of other nations do not have. And yet the one thing that all nations hold in common is that they protect their citizens from foreign influence. China does not want American influence over a certain degree in their culture. Russia does not want American influence, and neither do we want Russian or Chinese influence over a certain barrier. We'll accept certain things, but when it reaches that point, no, that you can't do this anymore. You can't do that. So we control these things, and that's what every nation does it. Every nation that does it to protect their citizens from outside influence, because this is the way they want it to be. Now, a major discussion today is open borders. should we have open borders? Well, if borders talk about influence and limitations, an open border is to get rid of influence and get rid of limitations. It's to throw them all away. It's to pretend they don't exist any longer. This literally means, an open border literally means that no border is recognized, no limits are recognized, no boundaries are recognized. I'm old enough, I remember when they were going against cigarettes, and we put a tax on cigarettes to make them more expensive. When cigarettes were evil, we had campaigns out, don't smoke cigarettes, don't do this. Now we have vaping. Illinois is considering within the next week or so to legalize recreational marijuana. Well, once you legalize it, you're sending out a message, it's okay. It's really not a crime. Did you know that some things may not be a crime, but that doesn't make it a smart thing to do? They're starting to prove vaping affects your mind, particularly for young children. They're finding out, a study I heard this week, vaping will help cause adult heart attacks. Marijuana, and some lady the other day bought some brownies and found out they were laced with marijuana. Well, when I was in college, marijuana, they had to smoke a whole lot to get high. And the marijuana today is like 10 to 20 to 100 times stronger than what it was when I was in school. Now, I never tried marijuana. I did smoke, but not marijuana. And I did inhale, but it wasn't marijuana. But at the same time, like, now we're sending the message to the kids, hey, there's no this boundary about not doing drugs, this boundary about drugs are bad for you, is now being eroded. And when you tell your kids, I don't want you doing drugs, mom, dad, marijuana is not a drug. Yes, it is. See, I believe that cigarettes are a drug. Nicotine is a drug. But I believe there's a lot of other things that are drugs too. And that there's things we need to be cautious of. But now we're getting rid of all the limitations, all the barriers. So if marijuana, and I talked to a guy in a drug rehab clinic the other day, and he said marijuana is still the gateway drug to all the other drugs. It doesn't change the reality of it, but now it's okay. We've changed the boundaries. That cord, we've just moved the cord, and now we've taken off limitations. We've taken off restrictions. We've taken off these things. Now, before you think I'm just being all political, these are spiritual issues, spiritual questions about boundaries, about limitations. See, if borders are about influence and limitations, when borders collapse, so does the influence of a nation. Its laws are no longer applicable, and even within its own borders, the laws no longer apply. The result is chaos and anarchy. Anarchy is no rules apply. I can do whatever I want to. And now this is the law that is a lot of people want to apply. When they talk about open borders, hey, let everybody in. Somebody is proposing legal protection for illegal aliens. That's actually being proposed. Legal protection for illegal aliens. Well, I think we need to have legal protection for all the space aliens that are already currently living on the planet. I've watched a documentary film called Men in Black. Some of you are just now getting it. And there's three documentary films that prove there's alien life on the Earth. So we need to have laws to protect these illegal aliens. Well, I can't tell you who they are, because if I did, you would deport them. Wait a minute. Just think about the stupidity of it from my point of view. Legal protection for illegal people that we can't document that are here. Well, we're going to give them legal rights. See, we've lost our influence. We've lost the protection of our own citizens. We're now getting diseases that haven't been in the United States for years. Where do they come from? Well, I'm not. Listen, when you import a bunch of people from a third world country that has no immunization, that lives in filth, lives in squalor, doesn't have health, doesn't have hospitals, doesn't have doctors, doesn't have nurses, when you import them by 1,000 a day, you're going to bring in some infectious diseases. That's just the way it is. And when you do that, you're losing your control. You're losing your influence over what your nation is going to look like, and you're losing your protection over the citizens that you are bound to protect. Open borders defy and destroy your influence and protection. Natural laws can no longer be enforced because they simply do not apply. Now, I've just got a few minutes left, but let me give you a biblical illustration of this. Joseph, because this is a difference between immigration and migration. Joseph immigrated to Egypt. And I know you're all going to say, well, he came as a slave. Yeah, but he immigrated into Egypt. Now, I say it because of this. He was assimilated into Egyptian culture. He was assimilated into their habits, into their language. He was assimilated. Now, he didn't completely assimilate, but he was essentially assimilated into Egyptian culture. He was so assimilated that he became the right hand of the Pharaoh. They accepted him. He immigrated into that country. And then all of a sudden, there was a famine that hit. And now everyone wanted to go to Egypt. And everyone wanted to go there because they had food. If we get to Egypt, we won't die. I mean, that's a good thing, right? I mean, we don't want people to die, but they all wanted to come to Egypt. So Egypt now had a crisis. See, Egypt didn't have a border because you didn't need a border. You had desert out there. You know, the few people who came in, you could assimilate them. But all of a sudden, you've got entire cultures, hundreds of people from different languages, different nations, different belief systems now want to come to Egypt. So what Egypt did was they established a border or a boundary. They sent soldiers to keep the people out because a migration overwhelms the supply systems. See, immigration you can handle, but migration, they just pour in. And when they pour in, they overwhelm your systems, and your influence as a nation to protect and your protection over your people is destroyed. See, Egypt allowed Joseph's family to migrate, but limited them to a specific territory. So, well, that's a good thing. Well, see, Israel was only, I think, 60 people at the time. Didn't look like much of a problem, but over time they were isolated in this community. Egypt didn't have much to do with them. They didn't have much to do with Egypt, but they were within the Egyptian borders and were protected by the Egyptian people. But this Jewish community was able to flourish, and they were also able to maintain their unique culture. And when they got significant and large enough, they had a culture crash with Egypt. And Egypt responded in kind, because the duty of Egypt was not to protect Israel, it was to protect Egypt. And so when the cultures clashed, they made slaves out of Israel in order to protect their own people, hoping to destroy their culture. Well, Jews are a resilient people. They've kept their culture in all kinds of different situations. And so they got into trouble because they migrated. They didn't really immigrate. Egypt thought it was an immigration, but it was actually a migration because the whole nation of Israel came into Egypt. Now Egypt's in trouble. You know, the same pattern's been repeated throughout history. Again, migration is more than immigration. When Joseph immigrated, he was assimilated into Egyptian culture. Even his family, think about that, even his family, when they met Joseph, didn't recognize him. That's how assimilated he was. They didn't know he was their brother. They didn't know he was Jewish. And yet Joseph retained his Jewish faith and belief, but he immigrated because he served the nation of Egypt. He was for their benefit. And so his family didn't recognize him, but Israel migrated and retained their own identity. They never adopted the culture of Egypt. And because they were restricted as slaves, they were unable to affect Egyptian culture. They say, well, that was bad. It's bad or good. This is just history. This is just going through some things. See, migration threatens the identity of an existing nation because it destroys their influence over a region. Europe has an open border policy. And right now the estimate is by 2050, Europe will be Muslim. because the Muslims are reproducing. I think their average children birth rate for a Muslim family is between 8 and 10 children. The birth rate in France right now is 1.1. Not even enough to reproduce the French citizens that exist. 2050, the estimates are Europe, Germany, Italy, France will be Muslim. Italy's already coming awake to this. Germany's starting to come awake to us. Some areas in France are becoming aware of this and are saying, wait a minute, can we stop this? We don't know whether it's too late or not. But what we do know, if nothing is done, they will be Muslim by 2050. They will have the votes to outvote anybody else in any other culture that's within those nations. See, they're losing their influence. But we're French. By 2050, they won't be French. And there won't be a French culture. And they'll probably start tearing down monuments and memorials to French genius, like the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, maybe some of the palaces. Get rid of those, because those that's what Islam does when they go into countries. That's what radical Islam does. They tear down the history of that nation. They tore down Egyptian statues when they were in charge of Egypt for a while. In Syria and other countries, they've torn down this historic buildings that have been restored to just for archaeological sake, have tore those down because they want to get rid of that influence of that history and supplant it with their own influence. Is that good or bad? Depends on what you believe. If you're Muslim, that's good. If you're not Muslim, that's bad. Okay, I'm not trying to make a value judgment. I'm just saying, you know, these are things that we're dealing with today. When Greece and Rome conquered a nation, the first thing they did was to establish their culture over the nation. First thing they did. Because they found out if we cannot establish either the Greek or the Roman culture, we will never be able to fully conquer these people. They will still, if they are able to maintain their identity. They tried it with Israel. Israel doesn't assimilate well. Because, see, they take the biblical scripture literally. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Remove not the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Don't give these things up. And they've held on to those things, so they've been able to maintain their identity. Even when Israel was carried away as a nation to Babylon, they retained their identity as a people of God. Let's go to Proverbs 22 again, verses 28 and 29. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Here the ancient landmark, and I said this before, I believe is the Abrahamic landmark. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not a lot of the things that you and I would want to say it was. It's the Abrahamic covenant. And their diligence to that ancient landmark gave Israel influence over the kings of Egypt, over the kings of Babylon, has influenced France. When I was in college, they told us when Europe was poor and poor country, they would invite the Jews in because the Jews owned businesses. And see, because of kings, because of what we would adapt as socialism today, nobody was educated. Jews were the only people that could read and speak and write in a lot of cases. They were the ones who were trained in industry and in businesses. So when an area was poor, they would invite the Jews in. The Jews would bring businesses. They would bring professionalship. They would bring industry into the community. They would build the community up. The Europeans would learn their trade because Israel has always been taught to be a blessing to wherever you're sent. And then when they got to the point of where they thought they could survive without the Jews, they turned on the Jews and kicked them out of the country. And they drove them out, killing them if they wouldn't leave voluntarily, but drove them out of the country. This is the Jewish history. And now that country was great, not because of their own ingenuity, but because of the influence of Jews upon that nation. But when the Jews, because they were still Jews, they had to get rid of them after a certain point because we can't have Jews. Kind of sounds like Christians today, doesn't it? We want Christians to bring your morality. We want you to bring your laws. We want you to bring your influence as long as you don't make us Christian. Same type of thing going on. Through this Abrahamic covenant, the door was given for Jesus Christ to enter into our lives. And Jesus is the one that has changed all history. Everything has been different since Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only has Jesus made peace between humanity and the Father, he has influenced nations and taken off limitations. In Isaiah chapter 9, I'll read that to you, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, government. Well, we don't want to get political. The government, it says. Well, I thought this is just a spiritual thing. No, it says the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, of his borders, of his dominion, of his reign, there will be no end. Until the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, when Jesus came down, he said, I claim the earth. It's all mine now. He set up a new boundary. He set up a new border. He set up a new fence. He said, this is mine now. I have all authority in heaven and earth. You know, Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, but in Matthew 10:34, Jesus himself said, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Ooh, that's one of those promises that you don't find in the box. This isn't one of those nice little things that we want. But what he's saying is, if you become a follower of Jesus, the borders and the limitations of your natural country no longer apply to you because you are now a citizen of a foreign entity. You now belong to the Almighty God. And it's his rules, it's his influence that we must yield to. And that doesn't mean we rebel, it doesn't mean we go into rebellion, it doesn't mean we take up arms to overthrow a government, but it means that we will not bow our knee except to Jesus Christ. And that's good, and sometimes that's bad, depending on how you are received. Go to Psalm chapter 2. I'll close with this, we won't spend much time on it. But Psalm chapter 2, because I just think this is cool. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. I like that. All the kings are upset. Oh, we're going to get them. We're going to destroy these guys. We're against God. We're against Jesus Christ. We're against the anointing of God. We're against all these things. We're for abortion. We're for child killing. We're for all this. We're for this. We're for that. But they're against the things of God. And God up in heaven just says, I'll laugh. Here they are thinking they're so mighty that they can change the laws of God, and they can't change. You know, you can say abortion is legal, it doesn't make it right. You can say drugs are legal, but that doesn't make it right. It'll still destroy you. It'll have the same effect. You know, I think, was it Nancy Reagan said don't do drugs? And she started a campaign on it. And who was it? Was it Nancy Reagan? Yeah, just say no. And people said, well, that didn't work. Well, actually, drug use went down during that time. See, she was planting the thought. Just say no. Today, the phrase is, just make it legal. Decriminalize it. Help people not feel bad about doing something that is self-destructive. As long as they feel good about it, it doesn't matter. Colorado is dealing with a spike in traffic accident deaths because of medical marijuana. Isn't it amazing? These things have consequences. If you sin, it will take a bite out of your life. You can make sin legal, but it will still destroy you because that's what sin does. So verse 4 says, he who sits in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill Zion. God not only laughs at him, but the price that they will have to pay for telling us that sin is okay, because they've moved the ancient landmarks. We're going to get more into this. We're not just dealing with politics, but I want to tell you, this is about spiritual boundaries. This is about understanding the things of God. And if you understand the things of God, it has practical applications to it. And we need to learn these things, because we think we're only dealing with natural. We're dealing with spiritual stuff here. We're dealing with supernatural boundaries that God has established, and man can't move them. Try as we want to, we cannot change the laws that God has set into effect. Amen. Let's stand. Have one already standing. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Father, you have set the boundaries. You have set the rules. And Father, when we obey you and follow after you and give you voice, give you heed and listen to your voice, Father, your protection abides over us. And the freedom that we have in you is greater than any freedom that the world thinks that they can give to us. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We thank you, God, for the blessings that you have poured out upon us and upon this nation. And Father, we set ourselves to learn what your landmarks are in our living, in our lifestyle, in our treatment of other people. God, that you would have full reign in this nation, and through this nation affect the things in the world and the other countries of this world. And Father, we give you praise, and we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. Amen. Amen. God bless you.